It's a little bit further than I thought it was. No depth perception issues, but I'll work on that later.
I want to thank you guys and Jim. Jim's listening, I think. He said he would be.
Just kind of yank it. I got a text this week from Pastor Jim, and he says, can you speak Sunday at the Vineyard? And I said, well, I was going anyway, so I guess I will. He said, sure. So here I am. Let me see what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you a quick story, and I asked permission from Jim to tell you this, and I'm going to use him in an illustration, story. About Ben, and at the time, Ben and Bonnie were our only two grandchildren. By the way, they're all eight in service today, and I'm very happy about that. It's a great day to be me, you know. And my sons are here, and our sons are here. The missus is with me, and our daughter-in-laws are here. It's like family day to me. It's just good. A special day. At one time, there was only Ben and Bonnie were our only two grandchildren. Cash wasn't born yet. I don't think he might have been on the way, but he wasn't here yet. And I decided that Sunday we would come to church. And I actually came to church that Sunday so I could see Ben. And I wanted to come and hang out with Ben a minute. And if he'll just look at me and notice that I'm there, I would be happy about that, you know. And I didn't bring a Bible. I was wearing a holy pair of jeans. It's not one of those intentional, you know, one you buy with a hole in it. And I had a hole under my arm on the T-shirt that I was wearing. I was wearing a pair of old tennis shoes and showed up for church that Sunday and no Bible. And Jim comes walking over to, I think the Mrs. Jan was with us, with me that day. Jim walks over and he says, you know, in sort of his shake and bake vibration thing he gets going on, it's a good thing. And he comes over and he says, you got the word of the Lord today? And I'm thinking, no. I just came to see Ben. And he said, no, you got the word of the Lord today. And I'm thinking, I'm not even a good Christian. I didn't bring a Bible to church today. I just came to church just to see Ben. And maybe he's going to go home with us and hang out a little while in the afternoon. Just maybe, if he wants to. And I just wanted to see Ben. I didn't care about preaching the word that day. I didn't feel spiritual. Am I the only one that ever sometimes don't feel spiritual?
No, sir.
Okay. Then it's a lot of that going around. And so I didn't feel spiritual. I didn't really want to preach. I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to see Ben and take him home, kidnap him. And so he says, let me know about the beginning of the first song. I think Liz was leading worship that day. I'm sitting back there about where Jan's at. And we're sitting there, and I'm kind of like, oh, God, this is my famous prayer. Oh, God, what? What are you saying? What are you doing? And I didn't get nothing. I mean, I'm getting goose egg. And so they got to the third song. Jim's sitting over here shaking and baking. And I'm like, he looks at me and he says, and I said, still, no word. I said, like that. Now, that's a leap of faith. I got nothing. I can't even think of a scripture. I can't think of a, you know, Jesus loves me and hallelujah. And that's all I got. And so I borrowed a Bible. One that was laying, somebody had left over a couple of weeks before. And I said, well, apparently they're not reading their Bible either. And because I had it with me. And so I preached a message on that day. And it was like one of the better words I'd ever preached. And not a note. And no fancy shoes. And no slick shirt. No press. I didn't iron anything. I was holes in it, and my hair wasn't, I don't even know if I shaved that morning. I wasn't prepared to do anything like that, and I came and brought the word. Well, when the church service was over, Jim said, I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks. I want you to preach that again. So I said, well, that'll give me time to make a note or two. You know, I'll be a little more prepared this next time. Okay, that sucker crashed and burned. I mean, it was a good word, but it was better the first time than it was the second time. Everybody liked it. I mean, people said, it's good. Thank you very much. We enjoyed that. And I thought, oh, yeah, you're being really kind because I knew it crashed and burned. And so Jim this week texts me and he says, you share something this week. Can you preach this week? And I said, sure, not a thing. I don't get nothing. I hang the phone up or I lay the phone down. And when I get through talking or texting back and forth with him, the Lord said, preach Ezekiel 37 again. And I thought, well, you know, I preached that one time when Ben was a little tyke. I preached it 2 weeks later, and I haven't preached that text again since that day. I don't think that's the word of the Lord. And Ezekiel 37, go there again. So I'm thinking, okay, I got it. You know, we'll follow that. So I'm going to preach a word today out of Ezekiel. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I want to. I'm probably going to read a little bit of it. I'm actually reading from the King James. Only reason why is because this one's all marked up like I like it, and I'm going to preach just a little word. And I'll try not to be lengthy. How much time? Oh yeah, I've got a good clock there. I can see it. Good. In Ezekiel 37. I want to tell you about Ezekiel before we get into this. Ezekiel is about, he and Jeremiah and Zechariah are all pastors, prophetic pastors of that day. They are, this is about 2,610 years ago when this is happening. At the time, Israel is in captivity. But they're still the pastor. They're still going at it. Ezekiel gets pictures and words, and the Lord speaks to him very clearly some things to do. Much more clear than I get. I don't get anything like dreams and visions like that. I get a picture from time to time, and sometimes the Lord will show me something about somebody, or it's just for their well-being and for his glory. That's what we do. One of the phrases that's always used in the text when Ezekiel, he says, so that they will know, you see this phrase all through the book of Ezekiel, so that they will know that I am the Lord. That's what he says a lot. And another one, for the glory of the Lord, he talks about that. And so I'm going to read to you this vision, a piece of this vision that he gets as he is, God shows it to him. Let me find my glasses and I'll go there. And one of them says, "For my holy name's sake," is another one. He always says there's three things he says. Valley of the Dry Bones is Ezekiel 37. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones, and caused me to pass them about, circle around them, fly over them. And behold, there were many of in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he says to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, and that's a good answer when God asks you a question. It's very appropriate for you to say, if you don't think, it's kind of like when Jim asked me to preach, and I said, you know, I should have said, if I'd been really spiritual, I said, oh, Lord, you know what they need today. Okay, I'll do it. But I didn't do that. Oh, Lord, you know. But again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord, God, to these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And, I'll come back. I got something I want to come back to. And I will lay sinews or skin and meat upon you, and will bring you up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Remember, I told you he says that a lot in this text, in his
in his writings.
He was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. At 52, he stopped writing. And he may have continued ministry, but he stopped writing at 52. Still a young man.
So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking and bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon him, the tendons and stuff like that developed. And they came together, and skin covered above, and there was no breath in them. And he says to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that you may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Now, what the way that I'm going at this angle that I'm going with this particular text today is that every one of us, or I won't say, a lot of us sitting in this room have calls from the Lord, anointings from the Lord, talents given by God, giftings that we've picked up along the way, trainings, things we've been trained for, things we've been taught either in school or in a setting like this, or in a small group, or in a seminar. Giftings, calls, anointings, talents, and those things, those kinds of things that the Lord is saying, and I'm preaching to you today, I'm going to tell you this, I'm preaching to you the message that I need. Yeah. Why would I preach to you something? I'm not preaching down to you, I'm preaching to you where I'm walking. If I can open my kimono enough to let you peek in and see that. I am walking in a place right now where when I preach, I'm preaching out of some, most of the time when I'm talking about something, I'm talking about a past history. Jan and I have been through some rough knocks over the past number of years in the church, and almost to the point of just saying, I don't think I want to do church anymore. Is that real enough? That I open too much? Let me close it back real quick so you don't see anymore. Okay. I've been there. I will say I got the t-shirt. It actually looks like a kimono, but I got a t-shirt, and it is it's the real deal is we just didn't care anymore. But I tell you that the Lord is speaking to my heart today and out of this text as I begin to read this and begin to think about it and make notes on this message today. I said, that'd be good for these, and that'll be good for that one. And every time I would write something down, when I got through, the Lord said, and this is for you.
Yeah.
That's just kind of real. I've been called by the Lord to do certain things. I have not really done all those things. That's the truth. I repent before you and before the Lord. I have not always done those things that he's asked me to do. I found myself busy doing other things besides what he called me to do. I keep getting an alert from the Lord. I keep getting a nudge from the Lord. He's not actually speaking audibly to me about anything right now. But he's telling me stuff all the time. I read it in a text. I hear it in a song. I hear somebody saying a prophetic word. I'm listening to something on Facebook, not garbage. I'm talking about something that I saw, a minister, a preacher, or teacher, somebody who's speaking, and I get a little video clip, and I enjoy that, and it goes into my spirit, and I say, yes, God, that's me. I want that. I need that in my life. Every one of us needs more.
Yes.
Almost everybody in this room has some sort of call, be it teaching, be it preaching. Everybody's not called to do that. Be it dance, be it musical, be it singing, vocal, be it dreams and visions, be it prophetic, be it laying hands on the sick and seeing them get well. Every one of us has calls on our life to do certain things. And I've just named a few, drama and art. I just keep thinking about these things, and they're running through my spirit right now. I know that God's called a lot of us to do these things, and we find ourselves doing as I do. find ourselves doing other things besides what we're called by God to do. And there's things that are slacking. Don't get under condemnation because I say this. Do like I'm doing. I'm repenting before the Lord because I've been busy doing everything except what God's called me to do. Yeah. Is that too real? Tell me, is that just being too honest? What happens is this. When we get to that point, our spirit man becomes dry as these people that have this great and exceeding mighty army that apparently one time was an army, one time walked in power, one time fought the enemy, find ourselves laying down in a valley, which is a low place, not a good place to be, of dry bones, and our spirit. Sometimes when I praise the Lord and I'm listening to a CD or a music on the radio, this good music, I'm thinking, I just want to praise Jesus, and it's kind of like, praise the Lord, and this dust comes out. Hallelujah, Lord. It's like a bunch of dust comes out. And I'm telling you that God has called us to be to another place, and He is allowing someone to come and tell you that you don't have to lay there in the valley of dry bones. You don't have to lay in that place with that talent, with that call, with that anointing, with that gifting, with those things that have been given to us. Gracious gifts from God. We don't have to lay there with those things, but we can stand up and be an exceeding mighty army for the Lord. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Well, glory. Okay, somebody take up another offering. I'm just kidding. All right, let's see where I'm at. One of the things that the Lord... He didn't actually say, I want you to do this or that. In our first church, Jan and I went to pastor in the year of our Lord, back when you could say that, 1980. And we went there, it's a little small church, 12 to 15 people were there when we got there. I checked the records, they've been running 12 to 15 for about 5 years in a row. Faithful, godly people, and they were on homecoming day, they would run about 35 to 40, which is one Sunday a year. That's because they had free food and gospel singing. Not singing, singing. That's what they called it. We went to there, that church, and we took that place. The overseer told me, he says, this is our first church. I was slim. I had dark hair. I had no wrinkles. I had small, tiny children. Looked like my grandchildren now. And we went there, took the job, and went there. The parsonage was nasty, roach and rat infested, and we took the job. And we prayed. And the church began to grow. The very first Sunday, I noticed that they were teaching in the children's church. They were saving the leaflets. Now, Jan, I'll tell you, I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating at all. I'm not speaking evangelistically. This is the truth. The lady that was teaching the class, she was an older lady. She's probably going to be with the Lord now. She was saving the leaflets, and she would let them write in pencil. And she would erase off of the leaflets for the Sunday school for the little children. And she would store those. And the next Sunday she would get out another one. And she would teach the lesson off of that. And then she would erase and she would put it up. And the next Sunday she would do the same thing. And then after a while she'd go back and get these over here and teach that lesson. Am I telling the truth? That's what she was doing. I said to Jen, I had to work. So I said, you go to the bookstore and you take some of our money and get Sunday school literature for those babies. That's important. We got to have that. She walks into the bookstore, and it was over in the midfield area at the time. She goes over to the bookstore. We're talking about 1980. She goes into the bookstore, and when she walks in there, she's gathering the stuff together, and this man comes up and pays the bill. Is this pretty accurate? It's real close. It's something like he pays the bill. We don't know who this man is, but he pays the bill. And then he's not there, so we can check him out and say thank you. She comes back. She tells the story the next Sunday, and the faith of the people went up. I'm telling you this for one reason. Because sometimes the Lord puts it on my heart to speak into areas where things are dead and things are not going to happen. The Lord puts it on my heart to go and say, I'll take that group because that church is dying. And that's what we did. Over everywhere we went, we took churches that were dying. And the Lord blessed us, and He would resurrect the thing, and we would speak life and speak prophetically. And as what Ezekiel did here in this text, I didn't realize it until I began to read this text. This is what we did. We spoke into their lives. We spoke in the prophetic. We told them what God was going to do, and God began to do that thing. So one day I'm going out to this old lady's house. I forgot her name. An old dear sister, famous for making a good, I think it was coconut cake or a pound cake or something. Everybody in the church said, hey, she's good. So she called the parsonage. There's no cell phone. She calls the parsonage, and I get in the Cadillac, and I'm driving out to see this old lady to get some tea and some cake. And I drive past this, I think it's an independent Baptist church. And the Lord says, I want you to stop. He said, no, he didn't say that. Stop here. You know, it's kind of like, sometimes he just has to be a little more abrupt. So I didn't stop. I just kept on going. I'm thinking cake and sweet tea. I got to have that. So I'm going to get the cake and sweet tea. I'm coming back through it, and I pull in. Okay, and my famous prayer is, okay, God, what? At that time in my life, I didn't have the term, come Holy Spirit. I didn't know that. I don't think anybody had said that yet. I just said, Lord, let Holy Ghost fall here and send revival to this church. And they resisted the revival. They were actually going through a pastor change at that time and a leadership change. And they resisted that. A few weeks later, there's a lady shows up at church. And when she shows up, her name was Peggy. I preached on healing that day, and she was healed instantly of a stomach condition she had been having for a number of years. And she began to, now this is talking about I don't know if it's Missionary Baptist or Independent Baptist. The name of it was Cool Springs Baptist. And she began to vibrate. Like, sorry, she's a little bit more vigorous than I am right now because I'm older than she was. And I said, what's going on? She said, God just healed me. Her son and his wife got saved. Some people told me that knew them said, you might have got Jerry in there, but you won't get Danny to come. I said, you give me 3 months, he's coming to the Lord. So I don't know where that came from. It just came out of my spirit. Hardest individual. He was a logger. He's a timberjack, a lumberjack. He goes and cuts trees for a living. He's a huge guy. I mean, not fat. I mean, he's just strong. The stronger and bigger they are, the harder they fall. A couple of weeks later, Danny and Susan and all those kids come to church, and guess what? He come to the altar, he got saved, and Susan got saved, and the whole group, the whole family all joined the church. And when we left that fellowship to go to our next assignment, they were still there worshiping the Lord, having a good time. Our kids were real small then. And the reason I'm telling you that story is because I want you to understand. It's because somebody spoke prophetically that got to the Cool Springs Church. Send revival. Those people actually went to Cool Springs and the members of that church the boys didn't even know the Lord. And they all came to church and got saved. While we were at that same church, at that same time, I was driving up. I had sneaked off, and I was going up to the little, if you go up and down 59 at the Asheville exit, there's three service stations. Used to be one. And they had the best fried chicken. If you call to preach, you got to understand fried chicken. That's important. That's like a staple for preachers. So I sneaked off. I went up to get me a piece of fried chicken and the big tater logs that they made about this big. They're fried taters, and they were killer. I can eat potatoes just about anyway. It's obvious. And I'm on my way back, and I'm praying because I felt like that God wanted the church to move to a new location. And I stopped at one spot. And I stood there on the ground. And I remembered the scripture. When God spoke to one of the guys in the Old Testament, he says, everywhere you put your feet, I'll give it to you. And I stood there and I prayed over that place. And in my spirit, I saw a church come up there in that area. Guess what's there now? The same congregation that we pastored, our first church, with about starting out with about 12 people, ending up with 60, 70 people, moved. They moved now to this new location. The same piece of real estate that I stood on in 1982, God did it. He wrote, I thought I was going to get to do that, but I didn't get to do that. It was someone else. It's sometimes God, it's like Paul will water and Jesus will do this. And it's all the whole time it's God that gets the increase. One will do one thing. One will plant a seed. One will water. But it's God who makes the thing happen. And I tell you, Jan and I went to a funeral that was there in that same church, that same piece of property. It was growed up. It was not pretty at all. And it's a beautiful church there now. For the glory of God, about 500 people attended that church. It was our first church. God did it. You know why God did it? Because someone spoke the word of the Lord over that situation. Somebody spoke the word of the Lord as he directed them to, as he directed me to give that word. I prophesied over the land and called it into the ministry. Now that's weird. That's weird. Today, what I want to say to you is this. The Lord has sent me here today to preach this word and to tell you this one thing. The thing that's inside you, the thing that's inside me, that God has called us all to do, whatever it is, fill in the blank, whatever it is, the Lord says, I want you to prophesy over them. Good news. There's a correlation. Anybody who doesn't know this, listen to this. There's a correlation between the church and with Israel. Things that happen in Israel, you can see something happen in the church. Something happens in the church, you see something in Israel. It's always been that way since Jesus' day, since Jesus established the church and the apostles and the New Testament became. There's always been a correlation between us two. This particular day that we're standing in right now, I didn't know this till about 5:30 this morning. This particular time that we're standing in, our time clock right now, the Jewish people are praying a prayer. Lord, from the four winds, let your wind blow. And I tell you, the prophetic word that's on here is, Lord, let your wind blow. He said, speak to, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the empowerment. Prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these things. And I tell you today, on the authority of the word of God, I prophesy to not only myself, but I prophesy. That's called a self-prophecy. I just made that up. A self-prophecy. There's no such thing. I prophesy to myself and I prophesy to you that God will use you in the last days that we're now living in for more and greater than he's ever used you in the times past. If you were a songwriter, God's going to get your ink pen out and a notebook and lay it by your bed. Get a flashlight so that when you're waiting up in the middle of the night, you can write down a song that the Lord gives you a song. It'll be the newest thing out. It'll be the newest word. It'll be the newest song. If you have visions and dreams, if you have dreams, now the Bible says the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. Well, guess what? I still see visions. That was a good place to say amen, but me too, Lord. I want to see a vision. Okay. I lost myself here just for a second. How about a drink of water? I told St. Luke this week, I was invited to speak to the St. Luke group that meets here next door. It was so much fun. And those guys and gals are hungry for the Lord. And I shared this phrase with them. And as I begin to write these notes today, or last night and today, the Lord said, he put it on my heart to say these words again. Holy Spirit is never wrong. Holy Spirit is right 100% of the time. If he gives you an inkling, run with that. If he gives you an idea, work with it. If he gives you a song, write it down. The enemy will come and steal that from your heart before you have a chance. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah, tell the truth.
If you're a teacher, prepare your heart for whatever it is that God has called you to do and begin to teach. If you have to teach in a small group, great. I'll tell you, I've pastored churches that are nearly full-time. I've pastored small groups. I don't know. Small groups is more fun. I've ministered on the side of the road before. That was fun. I don't have to have a big auditorium. You preach wherever you are. This past week before, this guy walks up and he says, there's a new guy comes to the job site. And he's like, I don't know him. I don't even know what he does. I don't know what group he's with. I don't know anything about him. I've never seen him before that I'm aware of in my life. I walk up to him and the Lord says, tell him that he's no longer going to make sermons, but he's going to start making messages. And I said, what? I don't know anything about this guy. So I go up to him and I shake his hand. Nice to meet you, man. The Lord says there's no more sermons. It's going to be messages from now on. I am just crazy enough, or Lonnie says cray cray. I'm just cray cray enough to do whatever it is that the Lord tells me to do, whatever it looks like. I don't care. When you get my age, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm not trying to please people. I don't want to do that. I did that when I was younger. I tried. It didn't work. There's some people at churches not far from here. They'll fire you if you try to please the Lord. If you say something out of the normal, they'll run you off. One more quick story. About the same timeline all this was going on with these little places where I've just mentioned, two ladies drove up to Hillcrest Baptist Church. And you don't know Hillcrest Baptist Church if you haven't been around the Vineyard very long, but Hillcrest was a little Southern Baptist church in the hood. We had cars broke into and people harassed. We've had all kind of stuff happen there. But these two ladies drove up to Hillcrest Baptist Church and sat in the parking lot and prayed, Holy Spirit, come. That later became the Vineyard in Birmingham. That later become part of what the DNA, and the same DNA that was in that church is in this church. The same anointings, the same powerment. Hillcrest Baptist became that. Now it's another Vineyard church in Inverness, and there's other vineyards around, but it started there at Hillcrest Baptist Church. Jan and I were very pleased and proud to get to be a part of that before it was ever Vineyard. I never heard the word Vineyard. They prayed for Lamar, the pastor, who was a Southern Baptist school graduate that didn't believe in tongues or healing or in anything like that, that God didn't do any of that stuff, and God proved that wrong when he went to meet James Robinson in Dallas or someplace. And he meets James, and all of a sudden he runs into John Wimber, and he sees John Wimber, and he says, and John Wimber's the guy who started the Vineyards, or a very key individual trying to get the Vineyards going. And so he meets John, and he says, hey, I'm home. I found what's in my heart all these years. It was in his heart. It was hidden in his heart. But he come home totally changed, fired the choir director, fired the choir. He made a radical change, lost a lot of people. And then, but God poured his spirit out in that area, and God poured his spirit out. And it's a ripple effect. It's still happening today around the state and around our area and our region. Because God used two women that didn't really know what they were doing, They walked up and they prayed. They stood there in the parking lot and prayed in a dangerous part of town and prayed. And God did that. He's looking for some people who will say, Lord, I know I've got this little thing, this little talent. And it's really, for me, it looks kind of insignificant. But I'll tell you, if you'll let your wind blow on me again, let there be a time of refreshing and revival and renewal and replacing and bringing back to life the thing that you have used me for early on. I want to be available. Yes, God, I'll do whatever you say. I'll say whatever you say to the people. I will say that. Whatever you tell them, I'll say it. I don't care anymore. What it's what he says. If he says do it, I know. Jan's thinking about this. I went to one of Dad's churches right before he retired, and I was sitting there on the thing. I'd wore a sport coat that day, and because there was the mindset, the style there is a sport coat. So I wore a sport coat and a nice pair of pants, and I prepared to preach, and I spoke the word. And right before I preached, the Lord said, would you do what I say? I thought, I'm afraid to answer that. Okay, whatever. He said, take your coat off and turn it wrong side out. I said, now that's weird, God. You know, I've done some weird things in my life. I stand on the side of the road and pray for people, and I've done all kind of stuff. I'll do whatever you say. The coat wrong side out. Is that kind of weird or what? That's just a little over the edge, God. Well, you want to obey me or you want to just please people? I said, okay, here we go. I said, when I got up to speak, I said, can I be obedient to the Lord? And they said, yeah. I took my coat off. I spun around, pulled the sleeves back through, and the shiny side was out. And I preached like my pants was on fire. Do you know my mom passed away a few years ago, and at the funeral, some of those same people came. And the word that I brought, because I had my coat wrong side out, they still remembered what I said. Years later, they still remembered it. And I thought, hey, if that's what it takes to get people to hear the word and remember the word and walk in the word and act on the word, then I'll wear my whole out. No, we don't do that. That would be bad. I said, I'll wear my whole outfit wrong side. Whatever it takes. Amen. Okay, I got one more thing real quick. Let me get to page 4. I've left off some stuff here. Okay, let me... The last verse that I want to read is the verse 11. That's actually skipping over to verse 11. And he said, verse 10 is an exceeding mighty army. And then the last part, he's saying, our bones are dried up. Our spirit man is dried. Our hope is lost. And we are cut off for our parts. And I Googled that, looked that up, and that word means that we have been cut off from our destiny. And what the Lord is saying, I don't want you to be cut off from what I intended for you to do and for you to be. He's speaking that to me. I'm speaking that to all of us. We have been cut off from our destiny. I say, no, we have not. We're going to run toward our destiny. Run toward our calling. Run toward our gifts, our talents, our songwriting, our dreams and visions, our prophetic. We're going to run toward it. The things that we've been called and trained and ordained to do, that's what we're going to do. We're going to run toward that. We're running toward the Lord. But we're running whatever he says do, we have to do that. Be willing to do that. So I'm going to pray over you, and anybody has need a ministry at the end, the guys and gals will take care of that. And if you need prayer today for that, then for a stirring, because that's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to renew and stir in our hearts and make it new again as if it just had happened. The call had just happened. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord, because today is the day of the four winds in Israel and in the church. The Lord wants to blow by His Spirit into us. He wants to blow His Spirit on our life and in our spirit, man. He wants to make it like it's brand new again. And our call be new, be refired in our lives, so that we become effective workers in the kingdom. Because the kingdom needs workers in this day and age that we're living in. Amen. So if you will, stand. If you will, hold your hand out like you're going to receive something. I'll pray. And then at the end of that, if you want some more ministry, y'all come up here and just come. Okay. Over that, right over here in the Holy of Holies. Come right over here. That's where it's going to be at. It'll be happening right there. You know, the Lord does, He does things geographically. It's okay. So, Father God, I just thank You for Your attentive audience today. And I ask You, Lord, that You, by Your Holy Spirit, would fill us afresh and anew. That You would heal our hurts and our wounds. That You would make us new again. Lord, that You would free us from failure and help us to walk in freedom in Your power and in Your might, and begin to do the things that You've called and foreordained before even for some of us were born, that we would be doing. Our destiny will be a brand new thing in our life. Walking toward the destiny, walking toward the call, walking out the call in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that Your winds would blow the north, the south, the east, and the west. Let Your wind blow in this place, O Lord. Fill us, Lord, again and afresh. I'll take some of that too, Lord. Make it like new. Refire. Revive in Jesus' name. I speak prophetically to your call and to the thing that you were called by the Lord or trained to do or taught to do or gifted to do. I speak prophetically that it come alive in Jesus' name. And we say amen.